As you may know, I was raised here in Midland, Texas, but I lived most recently in Maine for 8 years. In the winter in Maine, it is cold. Margaret knows that. But what really got me, she's from Maine too, but what really got me was the darkness. At 4 o'clock p.m., it is pitch black. You go to work in the dark, and you get home in the dark. But if you went to my friend Anna's house, even while there was still snow on the ground, you'd find her in her basement, preparing her vegetable garden. There in the basement, tables filled with black trays of rich dirt, bright, warm grow lights above the trays, nourishing tiny seeds. Anna was waiting, watching, preparing, longing for those red tomatoes, those yellow squash, those ruby red beets. Waiting, watching, preparing, longing. These are the verbs that describe the Christian season of Advent, which began last Sunday. The Christian church calendar restarts every year, not on Jesus' birthday, but at the start of Advent, 4 weeks before Christmas. So the Christian calendar begins with waiting, with anticipation. And of course, like many Christian holidays that align themselves with pagan holidays, Christmas was likely aligned with the pagan festival of winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. And thus the season of Advent, fittingly, mirrors the season of our year in which we wait in the darkness, preparing for the light. After the autumnal equinox on September 22nd, every day is shorter and shorter. Every day we wake up in the morning and it is darker and darker, and perhaps harder to get up out of bed and out into the world. Like my friend Anna, while it is dark, we wait. We long, we prepare. And then the winter solstice comes on December 21st, and every day the light begins to return, little by little, almost imperceptibly, until my friend Anna can take those tiny green seedlings outside. This is my daughter. Hi, sweetie. She's having a hard time waiting, and she's definitely longing and watching. Until my friend Anna can take those tiny green seedlings outside and plant them in the ground, where by summer they will produce those full, heavy fruits gathered by the basketful. But we are not yet at that time of fruits. Whether we are speaking simply of the dark and the cold season of winter, or this post-election time in our country, or some longing or lack in your own life, we are not yet past it. The world we dream of is very much not yet here. Often we respond to the not yet here, a sense of longing or need, with urgency, with a tightly clenched fist, a holding of the breath, perhaps certainty, perhaps even tunnel vision. Sometimes that focus is helpful or essential, but sometimes it is foolish and at the least unsustainable. We cannot plant seeds in frozen ground. We cannot see which seeds will germinate. In our opening hymn, we sang, "Love is on the way." On the way, but not yet here. So what do we do in the not yet here? I invite us to look at the spiritual messages of Advent. The texts read by Christians during Advent are not about Jesus in the manger or the wise men, They are strange apocalyptic texts. One of them is this text, and try to hear it with fresh ears. But about that day and hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Especially for those of us who may have a lot of understandable baggage around Christianity, you may hear this strange text and dismiss it. But I lean on many of my Christian minister friends who interpret it with fresh eyes. The irreverent Reverend Nadia Boltz-Weber says she loves this text because it inspires her to think of Jesus as a holy thief. She says, maybe the idea that Jesus wants to break in and jack some of your stuff. This is a minister. She's got like full body tattoos and like spiky hair. And maybe the idea that Jesus wants to break in and jack some of your stuff is really good news. I started thinking that maybe we should make Advent lists, kind of like Christmas lists, but instead of things we want Santa to bring us, we write down what we want Christ to take from us. You know, in hopes he could pickpocket the stupid junk in our houses or abscond with our self-loathing or resentment. Maybe break in and take off with our compulsive eating or our love of money in the middle of the night. So what do you wish could be taken from you? Perhaps something you have tried so hard to let go of, but you haven't been able to lose it on your own. That's why Nadia Boltz-Weber says we need a holy thief. Listen to that text about the thief again. People tend to emphasize the line about keep awake. But as Boltz-Weber says, the greater emphasis in the text might not be about wakefulness, but about not knowing. The text says, but about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. So maybe a state of not knowing is the best one to prepare us for the unexpected. And maybe being robbed is not such a bad thing if it means finally letting go of something that does not serve us. Buddhists talk about non-attachment and also about not knowing. Buddhists call it beginner's mind. A mind that has not become closed in by the limitations of what it supposedly already knows. So if we want to be best prepared for the not yet here, perhaps we can keep awake, but also open, waiting in a receptive position of not knowing. So is there an area of our lives to which we could apply some not knowing so that there's some room for that unexpected? A window left unlocked for the holy thief that breaks in and robs us of that stubborn stuff that limits us. Think about Mary, who embraced not knowing when she said yes to carrying God within her. Think about Joseph, who embraced not knowing when he said yes to defying all those cultural codes of the time that said he should not stay with his pregnant girlfriend. Embracing the spiritual messages of Advent might require us to do the counterintuitive. in the midst of great need, admit uncertainty. In the midst of great anticipation, let go. As Advent prepares Christians for the birth of Jesus, so too for all of us, embracing a season of waiting and not knowing could help something new and different be born in our lives, maybe even our world. So what needs to be born in your world? What do you hope that holy thief will jack in the night? How can you leave the window unlocked?